Hear our prayer for illumination. God of patience and mercy, open our hearts and minds once more to your word. Amen. Scripture this morning is from Matthew, the fifth chapter, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what rewards do you have? Do you not, do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jeannie. Well, we are still in our series looking at some of the hard sayings of Jesus. Last week we looked at Jesus saying, tear out your own eye, and how that meant there are things we need to empty out of our lives and also things to fill in our lives. Empty out whatever separates us from God and fill those places up with the Spirit of Christ. This week our text is evidence of the Holy Spirit's provision, evidence that God is smarter than me, as hard as that is for me to admit. I plan out our sermon series is in the Scriptures a couple months in advance, and this week I had planned to talk about let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus talks about that. And I was thinking about changing it, though, because several people from our church had asked me during this Hard Sayings of Jesus series to talk about praying for our enemies. But I didn't get around to actually switching it in the grid, so wasn't planning on it. Then on Monday, I open up the grid where I had written down the scripture, and I went to read it. I went, that's the wrong scripture. Huh, that's forgiveness and praying for your enemies. Amazing how the Holy Spirit knew better than I did what should be preached today. So here are texts, not what I had planned, but what the Holy Spirit wanted preached instead. Matthew chapter 18. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, two brothers were about to go to bed when something bad happened. Somehow Harry hit James with a stick. And that resulted in tears, bitter words, charges, accusations, character attacks, even. As their mother got them ready for bed, she told James, before you go to bed tonight, you will have to forgive your brother. Now, James contemplated this and replied, okay, I will forgive him tonight. But as long as I don't die this evening, he better watch out in the morning. Another set of brothers got into a fight. I don't know why it's always brothers in these stories, but I can personally attest to the frequency of brotherly conflict. Their dad was debriefing, the chain of events that resulted, nay, compelled them to strike each other, and he asked the older one what happened, and the older one said, well, he hit me first. Then I said, okay, well, what happened next? He said, well, I did what Jesus commanded me, and I turned the other cheek. The father was surprised, flabbergasted even, and said, well, then, that's great. Celebrate that, but how did you end up in the fight later? And the older brother said, well, that's easy. He hit me again, and I don't have any more cheeks to turn. Now, these might sound silly, but they are basically what Peter is getting at with his questions of Jesus. He's wanting to know, Jesus, what do we do when we have a fight? But before we laugh at Peter for his questions and his suggested answer, keep in mind that at the time, the Jewish culture taught that if you forgave someone three times, That was evidence of a very generous heart. So Peter, after hanging out with Jesus for a while, he's willing to more than double the conventional answer. That's pretty good. But have you ever asked, how many times do I have to keep on forgiving? Have you ever asked, how can I ever forgive that person? Or maybe, how can I forgive myself? I bet Peter was expecting, you know, a pat on the back from Jesus for his generous forgiveness. But instead, Jesus replies, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. So going back to that those set of brothers, are we supposed to keep one of those attendance clickers, and whenever it hits 78, that's when we can let the fists fly? Is that our signal to stop turning the other cheek? Now that sounds, you know, 77, that sounds like a pretty big number, right? And as Anne mentioned, some other translations have 70 times 7, 490 times we're supposed to forgive. That's an even bigger number. But I guarantee you, my brother and I fought way more than 490 times. That's just like a year. And I would bet that most of the married couples in this room have needed forgiveness or needed to grant forgiveness more than 490 times. It's a big number, but it's a number we can certainly reach with those who are closest to us. So does that mean that Jesus is saying, you know, just forgive strangers, but people who you're close with, your family, your friends, after a couple of years, you can stop forgiving them? Is that what he's getting at here? Have you ever thought to yourself, I used to be able to forgive them, but now there's just too much water under the bridge? Have you ever reached your limit? Even if that's a really big number, have you ever reached it with someone? Well, the great scholar and theologian Bruce Metzger said of numbers like this in the Bible that they don't mean what they say, they mean what they mean. In other words, the point isn't to literally forgive someone 77 or even 490 times. The point is that Jesus is commanding infinite forgiveness. The Jewish culture said you were off the hook after three times. Jesus is saying you're never off the hook. Never. Never. That's why this is one of the hardest sayings of Jesus. But it is also a very hopeful one, because Jesus would not have commanded infinite forgiveness if he didn't give us the capacity to forgive. Think about that. Jesus made you, made me, made all of us with the capacity to always forgive. He doesn't say it has to happen immediately or that it's easy. He just says it has to happen. But why? Why is Jesus commanding infinite forgiveness? The story about Leonardo da Vinci as he was about to paint the face of Christ in the Last Supper, that painting, that morning he was in a conflict with another man, and he was so angry at this other guy, he physically threatened him. After that little brouhaha, he went back to his studio, picked up the paintbrush, and tried to paint the face of Christ, but the brushstrokes wouldn't come. So he set the brush down, went and did something else, came back, tried it again, and still, he was unable to paint the face of Christ. Eventually, he figured out the problem. So he put down the brushes, went outside, sought out the man he had threatened, and asked for forgiveness. Then, the brushstrokes came freely. His anger prevented him from knowing the face of Christ. His lack of forgiveness in his heart prevented him from being able to paint the face of Christ. His need to receive forgiveness separated him from the face of Christ. And that's our problem too. That's why Jesus commands infinite forgiveness, because a lack of forgiveness in our hearts separates us from the face of Christ. Our unforgiving hearts can't stand to be in the presence of the one who forgave us all of our sins. So is there anything in your life you're still holding on to? Anything that prevents you from knowing the face of Christ? Anything that still causes your blood to boil so you can't sit still in the presence of the Prince of Peace? Horace Bushnell once said that forgiveness is man's deepest need and God's highest achievement. You and I need forgiveness to grant and to receive it. And it's possible. It's within us. We can choose forgiveness. Now, I mentioned earlier that several congregants had asked me to address the first text we had today about praying for our enemies. Specifically, the question arose around groups like ISIS. How do we forgive someone who wants to behead us because of what we believe in? How do we pray for someone who has literally killed Christians because they believe in Jesus? That is an excellent question. First off, let me tell you a Colorado story, a little closer to home. On February 9th, 1960, that's 56 years ago this Tuesday, Adolf Coors III was murdered by Joseph Corbett. Adolf's body was found near Pikes Peak. There was an international manhunt. They eventually apprehended Corbett. Adolf's son, Ad Coors, found his world turned upside down and his heart was filled with rage and fury at this man who had taken his father from him. Later in life, Ad became a Christian, and someone told him, you know, someday you're going to have to forgive Joseph Corbett. Over time, lots of time and lots of prayer, Ad was eventually compelled by the Holy Spirit to visit Corbett in prison. Now, Corbett refused to see him, so Ad left him a Bible with this message written inside it. I'm here to see you today. I'm sorry that we could not meet. As a Christian, I am summoned by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forgive. And I do forgive you. And I ask you to forgive me for the hatred I've held for you in my heart. To put an even finer point on it, Ad later said, I have a love for that man that only Jesus Christ could have put in my heart. Wow. So is Jesus telling us to forgive even someone who wants to kill us and our families? Yes. Is Jesus telling us to pray for, to love, to even want the best for even someone who wants to kill us and our families? Yes. Talk about a hard saying of Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, that was just a murder. But ISIS wants to kill someone for believing in Jesus. That's different. But what does Jesus say about that? Matthew chapter 5, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of falsehood against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. Jesus did not make an exception to this for people who hate him. Even then, we are supposed to offer forgiveness, even pray for, even want the best, even in that case, a very hard saying. So here's the very hard challenge. Pray for the people who have been deceived by the message of ISIS. If you've been struck by tragedy, as the Coors family was, The very difficult challenge is to pray for those who perpetrated it. As we continue in this political season, if you are threatened by some or even all of the candidates, the challenge is to pray for them. If your boss at work is a vampire upon your soul, the challenge is to pray for them. That especially goes for the church staff here. Who do you need to pray for now that you've heard this very hard saying of Jesus? Because your forgiveness and your prayer are the price of admission for coming closer to the face of Christ. Now, that's a lot to chew on all at once. So let's rewind and see if we can maybe find a better way to saddle up to this monster of a horse. If the first step is forgiveness, then if you can't forgive someone right now, pray for Christ to give you that ability. That's pretty much what Ad Coors had to do for years before he could visit Corbett in prison. Pray, Jesus, I know I'm supposed to forgive this person. I can't right now. Help me to forgive them eventually. That's a fine prayer. The next step after you've prayed for Christ's help to forgive is to choose forgiveness. And that's all it is a choice. It is an internal switch. Now, it's a very hard one to move. But all that stands between you and forgiveness is your own mind and your own heart. Maybe even as part of that, you'll realize, as Da Vinci did, the need to ask for forgiveness yourself. Maybe. The next step, the third step, is to pray for and want the best for a former enemy or current enemy. Now, the cynical among us might notice that Jesus was non-specific as to what we should pray for our enemies. Maybe you'll want to pray some scripture over your enemies, like Psalm 137. Happy shall they be who pay you back for what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. I'm just praying scripture, Jesus. I get credit, right? Well, instead of praying for your enemy's destruction, I would suggest doing what we did for forgiveness. First, pray for the ability to pray for your enemies. Jesus, I know I'm supposed to pray for my enemies. I can't right now. Give me the ability to pray for and want the best for those who have been deceived by the message of ISIS. Give me the ability to pray for those who have destroyed my life. Give me the ability to pray for these candidates. Give me the ability to pray for my former friend or for my spouse or for my family member or whomever. Give me the ability, Jesus, because I don't have it. Finally, do it. Pray for your enemies and pray for the best for them. But you know what would be the best thing for someone who's been deceived by the message of ISIS? The best thing would be for them to have a new worldview, to renounce violence. The best thing would be for them to come to know Christ. Can you pray for that for them? Sisters and brothers, Jesus commands infinite forgiveness. But that also means that he created us with the capacity to forgive, regardless of the circumstances. Jesus even went so far as to command us to pray for, to want the best for, even our enemies. These are some of the hardest sayings of Jesus anywhere in the Bible. But he knows that. Ask him for help. Ask him to help you forgive. Ask him to help you to pray for, to want the best for, even your enemies. Because that's your ticket to a closer look at the face of Christ. Amen.